If not, I'll have God help me out a lot. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. For those of you who are visiting with us, I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And it's just really neat to see that we do live and serve a great God, and that He is great and wonderful and mighty and powerful. And that's the God that I live for, and the God that I put my hope and trust in. And this morning we are together, and we're going to take some time and continue in our series on heaven. But before we do that, I just want to give you a quick update as to our family, as to what's going on with our adoption process. And hopefully the process is coming to an end very soon. We actually have a move-in date, which is August 13th. And so we're really, thank you. Yeah. Amen. So, of course, there's always logistical things to take care of, but God has been really good in this whole process, and so we thank you for your prayers and your support as we continue on in this venture. So, again, as I just shared, heaven, a place that is we read about in Scripture, books have been written about it, a place that is spoken of as glorious and magnificent, and yet it's mysterious. And so this morning, we just want to take a few moments together and talk about our heavenly dwelling. And it's been really interesting, as if you've been here for the past couple of weeks. If not, I want to catch up a little bit. But Tim started us out in our series a couple of weeks ago that we were created for paradise, and that our lives are to glorify God and to worship Him forever. And Tim also talked about that in eternity, we will spend eternity. Those who have said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity with Him in heaven. And yet for those who have said no and rejected Him, the reality is there is separation from God, and there is a hell. And that the unrighteous, those who have said no, will spend eternity there. Heaven will also be a place of peace and of rest and of contentment. And also what I get excited about is that we will be co-heirs with Christ. And last week, Chick shared with us that receiving a heavenly body, we will be receiving heavenly bodies that are pure, and that we will be raised up in glory. And so as we look together at our heavenly dwelling, I just want to check with any of you. You ever watch The Biggest Loser every once in a while, maybe at all? Rebecca, you're the only one? Okay. Maybe a couple. All right. And so in it, as we know the premise of the show, that contestants go on there and the goal is to lose a tremendous amount of weight, and they get paid at the end. They receive about, I think it's $50,000. And I think of season four, and there was a gentleman by the name of Bill on there. And week after week, you may have watched for hours on end, or maybe just saw it once and said, that's the dumbest show I've ever seen. But Bill lost 164 pounds. And he went from this guy who just didn't care about who he was and himself, and then bang, there he is, months later, totally and completely transformed. And I thought about, you know, how The Biggest Loser inspires many Americans to shed pounds. I think about our heavenly dwelling, that one day, for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who have professed faith in Jesus, we will go from this earthly body into a heavenly dwelling. Isn't that exciting? I don't know where you are with that, but that excites me. And that here on this earth, that God is continually working in our hearts to become more like His Son here on earth as we wait for Him to return. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to take some time and look in God's Word and see what Paul has written here in 2 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, just pull it out. If you don't have one, we do have some in the back. That would be wonderful. Or if you, by raising your hands, Brian has some, he can hand to you. And also, if you'd like, another way that you can follow along is through the outline that Dom mentioned about. It's a little green piece of paper that you can follow along with that way as well. And we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at the first 10 verses of this chapter. And just to give you a little bit of background of 2 Corinthians, it was written about 55 AD, and it was to the church in Corinth, and also to the Christians throughout the Roman province of Achaia. Hopefully I pronounced that right. And what was going on here is that there were false teachers who were challenging Paul's integrity. Not only were they challenging his integrity, but they were challenging his authority as an apostle. So in today's passage, Paul is just telling us what death means for us who are followers of Christ. That's what we want to look at this morning. And so let's start together, and we're going to begin. I want to section this off, and we're going to read the first five verses together, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to read the last five together. So here it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It goes on to say, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by this life. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And as we look at these first five verses, what Paul is telling us here is that our bodies are temporary and frail. I think we hear that week after week, that this is a short time that we have here. And he's saying that our heavenly dwellings are new bodies made to perfection by God. Our heavenly bodies will be clothed with praise and righteousness and glory. He also went on to say that we groan because we live in a body of sin. And things of this life do take a toll on us. And Paul also alluded to being naked. And I thought that was pretty interesting, because nakedness to a Hebrew was the condition for slaves and for prisoners. It also was a result of God's judgment. You see, Paul was ready to be in his heavenly dwelling, but he was concerned that he would be found naked, not fit for the kingdom. And because we participate in Christ's resurrection, we are being consumed by Christ, who is life, not by the grave. If you remember, he said we are being swallowed up by life. And I really love that, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So as our bodies are decaying or are just taking a toll and wear, we are being swallowed up by life, who is Christ. And I think we've heard many times already in this series of temporary and eternal. And I love what Paul wrote even ahead of in chapter 4. He wrote three verses at the end, in verses 16 to 18, that tie in with what he's saying here in chapter 5. Let's read that together. Chapter 4, starting with verse 16, Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal goal that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal." Paul was writing this and saying that, look, sufferings, as he's speaking to the church in Corinth, that these sufferings are for our advantage. Eternal glory is far greater than any suffering that we will face here on this earth. And compared to eternity, our troubles diminish. And I thought of my rubber band here. And this morning I came in and Dom almost threw it away. And I said, "You can't throw away my rubber band." And he kind of laughed. But if we took this rubber band and we stretched it, and let's say that's eternity. Do you see the little mark in the center? That's our lives, but a tick mark in comparison to eternity. Jerry Kimbrough asked me, he said, if we stretch a little bit further, would we be able to live a little bit longer? I said, I'm not guaranteeing anything. But the idea here is Paul saying, do not lose heart. This is eternity, and here's our lives. Just that little mark, just that little tick mark. And I thought, wow, my life is very small in comparison to what is to come. And the beautiful thing is that our faith is the remedy for our troubles. And God has given us his Spirit. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, God's Spirit resides in us, guaranteeing what is to come. God's Spirit turns our hearts towards heaven. And so as our life here will come to an end eventually, or when Christ returns, but But we can either choose to say, you know what, I'm going to waste my life away, or I can focus on the opportunity that I have to not only glorify God here on earth, but it's just a preparation for what I'm going to do for eternity. And so the question that we want to ask ourselves this morning is this, is that as we waste away, as life takes a toll on us, are we making opportunities with our lives? For we know that we will spend eternity in heaven. We're going to worship God forever and ever and ever. We will sing, "How great you are, God." And we will spend that time with him infinitely. And yet, I want to take a few moments and just look at what does it look like for us, for those of us who are followers of Christ, to say, just being a little bit of heaven on earth. So if we're following along in the outline, one of the things that I did miss is that what Paul was sharing too, and what I want to share with you is this, is to be satisfied with the short term. Therefore, do not lose heart. This is light and momentary troubles. Focus on what is eternal. God's Spirit who lives in us turns our hearts towards heaven. The term go green, we're all familiar with that, right? We want to go green with a lot of things. Actually, our family has started doing the light bulbs. I'm going, wow, these are very expensive, but wow, they last. Or just other ways of recycling and things like that. And you think of the many philanthropists that we have that do great things. And I thought about that, and I thought about Bill Gates donating millions of dollars to education. I thought of Ty Pennington, who helps a family receive a new home. Or even at the end of August, Starbucks is having what's called a human race, where people will run 10K, about six or so miles, and they're raising monies for the United Nations Refugee Fund, the World Wildlife Federation, and also the Live Strong for Cancer Research. I thought, wow, these are great things. And I thought about, well, if just for a moment, as we talk about just being a little bit of heaven on earth, and all these people are doing great things, what difference can we make in this world? Paul goes on to share in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look back there at verses 6 through 10. Paul goes on to say this after he shares that, you know, we're going to have a heavenly dwelling and a little bit of time here on earth is all right compared to eternity, and that God has given us his Spirit as a deposit for what is to come. But he goes on to say, after all that, he says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And I began thinking about that, and I thought about how that ties in with being heaven on earth and how we will spend eternity. I'm excited, but I know that there are things that are to be done now. Not because I work with students, but I know that God has created me to be intimately involved with him and to do the things that are pleasing to him. And so as we recognize that in heaven, we will worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever, but yet if we're doing that then, why can't we begin to do that now? In your outline, one of the things that just came to my heart this week is to look at our example. Look at our example, who is Christ. Our example is Christ. John 1:14 says this, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in that the little phrase "made his dwelling," the Greek text is connected with a tent or a tabernacle. And I thought about what Paul said in verse 1. He said, we have this earthly tent. Paul was, not Paul, but in John chapter 1, it's reminding the Jewish readers of the tent of meeting. In the Old Testament, the tent of meeting was where that it was filled with the glory of God. And Jesus Christ was the visible of the invisible, of heaven here on earth. And so if we are going to worship the Lord forever, And if we look to him as our example here now, we can begin to be the example. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus, what's beautiful about him, and most of us know this, that he lived a perfect life that was pleasing to God. Not only will God take us home to be with him, but we still have some work that could be done here on earth. This is, again, what we were created for, to glorify God and to worship him forever. And I thought about a little bit of heaven on earth. And for me, experiencing VBS was a wonderful thing. And to see people giving up their time and their treasures and their talents and loving kids and just showing them God in a real and tangible way. And the neat thing about that, I want to share a little letter with you that was sent from a family. And I want you to hear what they say towards the end, because that's what really touched my heart about who we are as Hope Community Church. It says, "Dear Hope Community Team, you are a great team. Thank you for being such a blessing to our family. Hope Community has blessed our family greatly in many ways throughout the years. Your church has been Jesus' hands and feet to us numerous times. I see a trend of service in all these people. This week again, we are recipients of your service to the community. How beautiful it is to walk in that room and hear those children sing. It must smell so good to the Lord, and I am filled with gratitude. The gospel is so attractive, and Jesus is so desirable. You are the good smell of Jesus to your community as you serve. And you are prayed for, and we thank you for ministering to our kids." I thought that was so cool. And you know, it all goes to God. All of you who helped and volunteered and took time. Man, thank you so much. But yet, it's all for him. A little bit of heaven. I'm not trying to sound hokey today, but I really believe in my heart of hearts that when you begin to experience God more and go deeper with him, you're going to be seeing things from God's eyes and see his heart. And that's the beauty of being a little bit of heaven on earth. So as we took some, as we read that second half of chapter 5 there, I just want to share a couple of things that really God spoke to me about over the time that I took in studying. And as we look at just being a little bit of heaven on earth and getting ready for what we'll do in eternity, in your outline, it says this: God's presence gives us confidence. God's presence gives us confidence. I'd like to read that again. As Paul said in verse 6, it says, "Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from the Lord." That's the goal. Whether we're here or we're there, that's the goal, is to please him with our lives. And even though we still live here on earth, we can enjoy God's presence in our daily lives. Again, God's Spirit living in us, turning our hearts towards heaven. And we live believing that. And when we live believing that, God's going to give us the courage to do those things that he's asking for us to do, no matter how uncomfortable, how hard, whether it stretches us. But he gives us that courage to do just that. And I remember sharing a couple weeks ago that faith is for this world, the world that we live in. We're not going to need to have faith when we're in heaven. We're not going to need to evangelize. That's all going to be done. We're going to worship the King of Kings, Jesus. The one is as high and exalted and lifted up. But yet Paul said sight. Sight is for the other world, looking forward to what is to come. So again, whether we're here on this earth or whether we're there with him in glory, our aim is to please him and give him a life of worship. I had the privilege of working with the students and going to Jackson, Michigan. I'm going to ask Sarah Welch to come up just for a few moments. And I got to work with her on a work site. And I'm going to put you over here, okay? I think that mic's on. And so she was, we had a great time working together for the week, and as the months go on, we're going to be having all the students up here to share about their experiences. So Sarah, I'm going to interview her a little bit. She looks a little nervous. Why don't you grab that mic? We all want to hear you. It's going to be all right. So Sarah, what did our group do while we were there in Jackson, Michigan?
Well, our group, do you mean by like our little small group that worked?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, our specific group worked at a shelter called
Interfaith.
Yeah. And we helped by serving meals to the people who live there and people in the community. And we also worked outside painting a fence and doing garden work.
Okay, and as we went through the week, we had a time each and every day to debrief about how the day went and stuff. So could you share with us just a little bit, Sarah? I remember you shared one of the days, what really impacted you. And before you answer that, Jackson Interfaith Ministries has about 87 homeless residents that live there. So they feed 24/7, not 24/7, but they're open 24/7. They feed 3 meals a day. So what was the one thing that you said impacted you a little bit?
Well, the one thing that impacted me a lot was the fact that there were so many little kids there. There was little babies that couldn't even walk and talk yet, and their families were struggling, and it just hurt to see them not be able to grow up in a normal set of life and just not to see that there's faith by them every day.
And so, Sarah, with that, one of the things that we as a smaller group, we said, you know, we know that God lives in us, and we just want to share a little bit of Jesus while we're there. One of the things that our team got to do before we went away was each of us shared our faith story of how we came into a relationship with Christ. And hearing Sarah's, it's a powerful story. We all have powerful stories, and especially with those that involve a God who interrupts our lives and we just say yes to him. But Sarah, one of the things that really struck me as just getting ready for this week and talking about how we understand that God is with us and he gives us confidence. But what is one of those things maybe that you can think of that we just were able to be a little bit of heaven on earth?
Well, kind of.
There's a lot, wasn't there? One in particular, maybe, that you can think of.
Yeah. Well, the kids there, there was kids that came to the shelter that also came on Friday night, and they were singing, and they went up in front of the whole, in the whole audience, and they sang for us, and it was so touching because we got to see them be happy because we got to put Jesus in their lives, and we got to open their eyes, and we just showed them like an amazing thing. And then they showed us that they were opened up and that they wanted to share with us. And the people there on Friday at the shelter were so nice, and they opened up and they were singing along with our songs, and they were clapping and they were being joyous, and it was just so fun to see them.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it. That's it. Thanks, bud. And again, that's the beauty of God working in our lives and saying, you know, we were asked while we were at our mission trip, invite people to the school, and we just sensed that no, let's take church to them. Let's be Jesus to them. And sure, it was just singing, but it really, I mean, it was just a beautiful thing to see again, just a little bit of heaven on earth. And so if God's presence gives us confidence, I think we can ask ourselves, are we living with God confidence, or are we living with self-reliance? Do we choose to say, you know what, I'm going to do things on my own, I can handle this, I can get it all done, or we truly say, you know what, God, I understand that you are living in me, and it's you that I want to please, and so I need your strength, your courage to get me through any and every circumstance that comes my way. So if God's presence gives us confidence, the second thing is that we will answer for the here and now. We will answer for the here and now. Paul finishes up here in verse 10, and he goes on to say this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Everything we have done on this earth will be under God's microscope, and that we will answer for everything that we have done. And Paul was saying directly to every Christian, every servant of Christ. You may say, well, I don't have that relationship with God, so I'm okay. Well, here's how it works. At the end, we will all be judged. We will all be held accountable for one, saying yes or no to Jesus Christ, and to two, what did we do with the opportunities that we've given? How did we live for God? How do we please him with our lives? And again, even though our lives are fading away, we still have a responsibility for how we behave now. We've been given the gift of life by God, and so what are we doing with it? And if we will answer for the here and now, when we're before the Lord, we can ask ourselves, how would we answer? God, I know you're proud of me, or God, I hope you're proud of me. I hope you're proud of me. I hope that he is proud of me. I hope that I will be fit for the kingdom. But the reality is that we will all be judged. And the reality is that many times I've heard people say, well, if I'm just good enough, I'll get in. But the reality is God's word says that we're all born into sin. Or, you know, I really believe that all paths lead to heaven. Okay, well, if that was true, then if we all went to the airport with different locations that we were flying to and they said, well, you're all going to the same place, it doesn't work that way, does it? No, it doesn't. God's word is very clear. It's through his son's, Jesus Christ, giving up of his life. And for us to have heaven, there was a cross, and there was a price that was paid to give each and every one of us an opportunity to say yes to him for eternal life. So as we begin to wrap up, I want to share a clip with you from Walk the Line. And in it, the scene is where Johnny Cash and his band is auditioning to see if they can get a record recorded. And during that time, the record producer challenges him with one question. And as we're watching this clip together, I'd like for you to just think about this question that he asks. He asked him, he says, Cash, if you had one song to sing, what would it be? And so let's watch that clip together.
Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul.
The very moment he forgave me,
made me whole.
He took away my heavy burdens. Lord, he gave me peace within.
Peace within.
Well, Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt it.
It's real and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
Well, Hold on. I hate to interrupt, but you guys got something else. I'm sorry. I can't market gospel no more.
So that's it?
I don't record material that doesn't sell, Mr. Cash. And gospel, like that, doesn't sell.
So is it the gospel or the way I sing it?
Both.
Well, what's wrong with the way I sing it?
I don't believe you.
You're saying I don't believe in God?
JR, come on, let's go.
No, I want to understand. I mean, we come down here, we play for a minute, and he tells me I don't believe in God.
You know exactly what I'm telling you. We've already heard that song. 100 times, just like that, just like how you sang it.
Well, you didn't let us bring it home.
Bring it home? All right, let's bring it home. If you was hit by a truck and you were lying out in that gutter dying and you had time to sing one song, huh? One song people would remember before your dirt. One song that would let God know what you felt about your time here on earth. One song that would sum you up. You telling me that's the song you'd sing? That same Jimmy Davis tune we hear on the radio all day about your peace within and how it's real and how You're going to shout it? Or would you sing something different? Something real. Something you felt. Because I'm telling you right now.
I thought about the song. What song would I even sing? If I had one song to sing. And I thought about that, you know, even for us who are followers of Christ, maybe people around us are tired of hearing the same old message, the same old way, sung the same time. Or are they looking, I believe people are looking for real, authentic followers of Jesus Christ, where they say, there is someone who allowed God to transform their lives, and that's what I want. That's what will make a difference. Whether it's being a part of a VBS, whether it's part of going on a mission trip to Michigan, whether it's just even scouting a Russian orphanage, being a little bit of heaven on earth. Because again, all our intent and purpose is here to share about heaven in this series is to, one, to whet your appetites and to say, we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Yes. Amen. That's right. For those of us, again, who are in Christ, we're going to spend eternity. We're going to be in glory with our Father in heaven. And hopefully, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, if it's been rejection of Christ and rejection of Christ, I hope that even in my prayer has been through this series that you would just take one step closer and say, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. And I'm telling you, when you begin to sing that new song, others around you are going to see how much God is real. I've asked Brian, he's got some envelopes, if he could hand those out at this moment. And as we close this morning, I just want to just take a few moments. As you get your envelope, go ahead and open it. It's a little invitation that each and every one of us has been given today. And if you have a pen or pencil, that'll be great. If not, then, you know, in your own heart, you know, it's just time to get a little bit real. By the way, these are for you to keep as well. And if we don't have enough, I'll read it off for you. You can have mine when we're done. But as you open your invitation, the invitation says this: I am inviting you to be a part of my Father's family in heaven and being heaven on earth now. And the choice is yours. But the question is, what song are you going to sing? Are we going to sing the song, "It's all about me, Jesus. I've got it all together. Life's good. Family's good. Relationships are great. Got everything going for me. It's all about me, Jesus." Or is it going to be, "Jesus, it's all for you"? Because I just want to begin to live my life like it's going to be when I'm there with you in eternity. Or it may be for you today that you've come to the realization to say, you know what, I am in need of a Savior. And this heaven thing is really exciting. But I realize is that my sin separates me from you, God. And it's only through your Son, Jesus, that brings me to a relationship with you. That may be you today, where you're saying, you know what? I want to sing a new song. The question is, do we want to make Jesus so desirable that people want to walk to the kingdom with us? And I remember a missions conference that my family and I were at in Scranton, Pennsylvania a couple years ago. And a gentleman asked me, he said, "So tell me a little bit about your philosophy of youth ministry." And we were talking for a while, and I said, "You know, with all due respect," I said, "I know that I'm going to spend eternity with my Lord. There's no doubt about it. And all I want to do is take as many kids with me as I can. I just want to hold my hand out and that they walk with me into the kingdom for eternity." Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, heaven is such a place that is so brilliant and majestic, and yet it is so mysterious. Father, I thank you again for the cross that gives me the hope that I know one day this time on earth will be done. And Lord, my prayer is that for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would look into our own hearts, Father, and begin to sing that new song that makes a difference. Lord, that we truly live for you, that we would have your heart, that we would have your eyes, and that, Lord, as your spirit that lives in us turns us to heaven, Lord, we would begin to live a life that's just a small, small, small glimpse of what it will be forever with you. Father, my prayer is today that if anyone, Lord, has said, I want to sing a new song, Lord, that they would not pass this moment up, Lord, to come and speak with one of the elders or to speak with myself, Lord. That today, that salvation is today. And it is waiting, Lord. That you are still in the business of redeeming and bringing people to yourself. So, Lord, this is just your time as we reflect and look upon our own lives, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.